Always good to hear from you. And I'm looking at some of the text messages this morning on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. One person said, good morning, Ryan. I think I caught the tail end of Coast to Coast AM. Was the lady a psychic, Satanist, or both? Always nice to hear from you. No, it was two different people. So no. Another person said, OMG, how could you ever wash all that pedophile ick off yourself after going to Epstein Island? That's referring to the article that the billionaire that purchased one of the islands wanted to make it into a tourist destination. I don't know what type of tourist you are trying to attract to an island like that. Joining us now is a political historian, someone that knows, I would quite frankly say, everything there is to know about politicians. Rich Rubino, thanks for coming on this morning.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me on again, Ryan.
You know so many different politicians. I know we've done this before. I'm not going to ask you to do it again, but just to give listeners an idea of just how well-informed Rich Rubino is. I asked him one time, can you name the presidents in order? And he did it off the top of his head without even thinking, which is quite impressive because I think if you were to go to an average American and name as many presidents as you can name, they may get to 10 if you're lucky. I don't think they would be able to name many in order. You know, Rich, it is a Labor Day weekend. A lot of people are hopefully not laboring, but here we are on the radio this morning. I am, and you are doing more television appearances every time I see you. Any Labor Day stories come to mind? Anything when it comes to presidents or politicians over a Labor Day?
For Labor Day, I would just think in a general sense, it's usually a day when politicians tend to speak to Labor Day crowds. The labor movement in general is something that used to be almost universally Democratic. It has since really beginning with Richard Nixon in 1972 when he ran for re-election and got the endorsement of the Teamsters. It's become more and more bipartisan, if you will. It's become more competitive. And you have a scenario where certain unions will support the Democratic candidates, and then some of the more conservative unions will support Republicans. Unions are obviously not monolithic. I think if you look, for example, at some unions, for example, cops, prison guards, firefighters, they tend to be more conservative as, say, some of the service employee unions in general. So it's really kind of up for grabs right now, which it really wasn't before Nixon really did everything he possibly could to try to bring Jimmy Hoffa and the Teamsters over to his side.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Hoffa. Now, don't forget, I'm up in the Detroit area. So the mystery of Hoffa is always one that is brought up. So let's talk about a couple of other things. And this is no different than any other year when it comes to politics. I don't know if we're just seeing dirty political tricks increase over the years, but it's probably good to point out that political tricks have been happening probably since the start of politics.
Oh, absolutely. And it's really part of Richard Nixon got caught for Watergate, but part of the reason him and John F. Kennedy were basically, the Kennedy campaign, the Nixon campaign were very much dirty tricksters to the point that back in 1946, when Kennedy was first running for a congressional seat in Massachusetts, one of his opponents was a popular city councilor running named Joe Russo. So what the Kennedy family did is they found a guy named Joe Russo who lived in the district, and there was a custodian named Joe Russo, and they asked him and they gave him some money and they said, can we put your name on the ballot so that when people so basically what happened is people for the primary ballot, Russo campaign people win. The people who supported Russo, about half of them saw there were two Joe Russos on the ballot. One was a custodian, the other was a city councilor, and they split the Joe Russo vote. And that very much benefited John F. Kennedy and got him elected his first congressional race.
And I think that's hilarious. Honestly, I don't even know if that's legal today. Could you get away with something like that?
That's a good question. I guess the money part probably no, but you certainly could do it as a dirty trick. You can certainly, if you're willing to get the signature for somebody on the ballot and they agree to it, then yes, I think you could potentially do that. I think the candidacy with The problem with the Joe Russo campaign is it really got caught kind of off guard, if you will, and they didn't have enough time to try to send the message out because they did it right before the filing deadline. But I guess you theoretically, it's something that you could do. It's something you could get somebody else's name on the ballot. Ballot stuff has always been, getting somebody's name on the ballot has always been an issue. Barack Obama, for example, his first state Senate race, what happened was there was a woman named Alice Palmer who was running and who had been the incumbent state senator. She said, "I'm going to run for Congress." And then she was starting to run for Congress, realized she wasn't going to win, and came back and decided she'd run for state Senate instead. And the Obama campaign challenged her signatures, and it turned out a lot of them were printed when they should have been in cursive. So consequently, a lot of them were thrown out, and Barack Obama was the only name on the ballot. So there's a lot of kind of ballot shenanigans, but obviously in both cases, these are completely legal.
Oh, there's all kinds of ballot problems here in Michigan. But I'm going to give you a hypothetical. And let's say you go and legally change your name. Your first name would be Vote For Me. And the last name you'd legally change it to is Win $1,000. Now, now, if that is your legal name, according to the government, and you put that on a ballot, I bet you a lot of people would put that down.
I bet they, oh my God, are you kidding me? This very similar one, that similar to what you were just saying, and it's kind of interesting. Richard Nixon back in 1950 was running against Helen Gahang and Douglas. And he would, his aides would call up people, and they'd say, answer. They'd send. This is when you know they would send stuff by mail. They would say, at a certain time, answer your phone, or you're going to win prizes galore. So people would answer their phone, and they'd pick it up, and it would be somebody coming on the phone and say, "Did you know Helen Gahagan Douglas is a communist?" and hanging up. So,
well, these are political tricks. Some of them have humor to it. Now, at the time, I don't know how much humor is involved with it, but I'm laughing now.
I'll tell you what the best one I think was. This was a guy named Dick Tuck who was working for the Helen Gahagan Douglas camp candidacy, but he was a college student at the University of Santa Barbara, and he pretended that he was a Republican, and he invited Richard Nixon, running for the Senate at the time, to come speak. And Nixon obliged and did it, and so Dick Tuck, he was really a Democrat, and he reserved a room for 2,000 people. The biggest campus, biggest room, biggest auditoriums on campus, and didn't invite anybody. So Nixon comes thinking that he's going to be speaking to 2,000 people. He comes, there's literally 23 people in the audience. Dick Tuck gets up there and gives a half-hour introduction of Richard Nixon, and at the end says, "And Richard Nixon has agreed to give us to speak about international monetary policy today." So Nixon has to get up to 23 people talking about international monetary policy when he's expecting to speak before 2,000 people for a rally.
Oh, no. You know what that reminds me of? You know the rapper 50 Cent? 50 Cent?
Oh, of course.
Of course. I know. It's right in your wheelhouse. It's probably the music you're listening to right before we went on the air. But
Richard,
he did something
Nixon
similar.
Was a big fan.
He must be a big Richard Nixon fan because he did something similar. So he was, I don't know if he was beefing or wanted to prank another rapper by the name of Ja Rule, which was going onto the concert stage. So what 50 Cent decided to do was he bought all the concert tickets in the first rows, so it looked like he was out rapping in front of an empty crowd. So if I had to guess, maybe 50 Cent is a Richard Nixon fan.
I always thought of him as more of a Gerald Ford fan, but maybe he was more of a Nixon fan. I think Ja Rule, my guess is kind of is between Rutherford B. Hayes and Benjamin Harrison.
You know, I know a thing or two about showing up to an empty stage. Now, keep in mind, back in my rock radio days, they would make you show up to everything in the county. So you would show up and there'd be like 10 people there, and they would make it sound like it's like a giant crowd or something like that. And then by the time you got back to the radio, you had to make it sound like it was a well-attended giant meeting. But we're talking small, small meetings that you would always be sent out to on assignment. You know, after the break, maybe we take a second to talk about hiding health issues. There's some questions about that. And a lot of politicians over the years have had health issues. How do the public find out about it? Do they ever find out about it? Some great stories there with Rich Rubino. You can find him online, R-U-B-I-N-O. Just do a quick search. We're going to continue with political historian Rich Rubino after the break. And I know we got a couple of seconds here, Rich. I'm always, always so proud every time I see you doing a national TV appearance.
Awesome.
I point at the TV, I say, that's my buddy Rich Rubino. Look at this. My beautiful Rich Rubino, there he is, working so hard, living the dream. You're on pretty much every network at this point. So we'll continue with Rich after the break.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Thank you so much.